胸に染みる空の輝き、今日も遠く眺め、涙を流す。
From the studios of KSJE in Farmington, New Mexico, I'm Nick Michael, and I'm sitting here with
Ashley Landy
and Trevor Mavo.
And you are listening to A Review Too Far, where we watch movies and review them for your listening pleasure. This week we have the documentary on Russian sports doping, Icarus. After that is the anime about life pre-atomic bomb in Japan, in this corner of the world. And we're going to finish with out in theaters now, the much-anticipated Avengers Infinity War. But let's get things started with Icarus. It is a documentary that was nominally going to be about how doping can make you competitive and turns into an exposé of the Russian doping conspiracy that got the entire country's athletes in trouble with the Olympic Committee and Association.
Brian, it's a disaster. They just killing people, cutting heads, you know. Without who is guilty. Yesterday, you know, I went to Minister Mutko and we start to discuss. He was talking blah, blah, blah about football, blah, blah, blah about Formula One. Then to say what to do with bloody doping. But he said, could you resign? I go, yes. Tomorrow, today? Yes, today. And I resigned. And they lost the director. I have a lot of calls, but I'm just changing my telephones. People are looking for their job, but laboratory is almost empty.
Icarus was directed by Brian Fogel and features himself interacting with many of the personalities of the international anti-doping community, including key figure Grigory Rodchenkov, Nikita Kameyev, Thomas Bach, Richard Pound, and featuring archival footage of Vladimir Putin. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Icarus?
This was my pick for this week, and I chose it because Netflix has been telling me to watch it for months now, and I was getting sick of the notification. No, I'm kidding. I picked it because it seemed like a really interesting documentary. I was not disappointed because this was the sort of documentary I like where you learn a lot, and I learned a lot about how doping is such a huge feature of the sports world, and I learned a lot about how the IOC tries to prevent that from happening and the ways in which they've devised systems to stop it and the ways in which those systems can be corrupted. I was a little disappointed with the documentary, though, because I feel like it starts too early. And if you watch this, you'll know what I mean. I feel as though this documentary should have started about 25 or 30 minutes into where it actually did. If we had started instead of with Brian and his desire to see how doping works, if we had just started with his conversations with Grigory and how they were going to do this and the investigations going on and how their friendship formed and all that, I think it would have been a stronger feature. The first 20 minutes or so where we spend watching him race and hearing him talk about how he's going to do this and getting his prescriptions, I don't really care. It seemed a little disjointed. I think at first he was going to make a film about how easy it was to dope and get away with it, and instead it turned into this film about this Russian conspiracy and all of these plans that they had to beat the Olympics. It's a good documentary. It just doesn't feel like the front third matches the last two thirds, but I'd recommend it.
Trevor?
This documentary was 2 hours long, and Ashley's right that the length problems could have been solved by cutting out some time in the beginning. But I really think that it showed how much this filmmaker was in love with how he stumbled upon this discovery and the huge coincidence that the movie became. In the beginning, when Brian Fogel is racing in amateur cycling and wanting to find out how easy it is, one, to end around the doping testing in cycling athletics, and also to see how it's going to improve his performance, it was just supposed to be this look at the doping world, how easy it is to do it, can he dope and still get around the tests. This was an exciting premise for a documentary, and it's what he set out to do, but Flash forward 2 years later with him standing on the podium at the Oscars accepting the 2018 award for Best Documentary. I think that award was primarily given for two reasons. One, the incredible subject matter and discovery that this film revealed, and also how well it was done. I thought it was written very well and put together really well. There's a lot of footage and filmmaking aspects of this movie that go above and beyond what you normally see in a documentary. The movie was pretty good, but the subject matter was great, and as a documentary, it was very well done, so I will recommend it.
Well, while I agree with my compatriots that it was a very interesting subject, and the documentary was pretty competent, I do think it was a little hammy. The Orwellian connections that Grigori kind of forces on the documentary were a little cheesy, but to a certain extent, I see where he's coming from, because the basic, you know, post-communist practice of doublethink in Orwellian fashion was pretty apropos. I'm not quite happy with the pacing as well, but I actually enjoy the first third. I like the context, like Trevor did, of where Brian was coming from. So I kind of disagree with Ashley there, but I agree with both Ashley and Trevor that this was interesting and worth seeing. So I will recommend it as well. And on that note, final thoughts, Ashley.
It's not the best documentary I've ever seen, and it's not my favorite one, but I really did enjoy it and I learned a lot about the subject matter. So I think that makes it a successful film. I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Trevor?
Yeah, I'm a little middle of the road with this movie, and I think it just comes from my high expectations that I had for it. From a documentary perspective, it was a huge success. 3.5 stars.
I think certain aspects of it were pretty hammy, but overall the subject matter is important and is presented in a relatively interesting way, so I too am going to give it a 3.5 out of 5 and recommend it. And that'll bring us to our second DVD of the week, and this one is my pick, and it is the anime In This Corner of the World, which follows a somewhat eccentric artist around Hiroshima, Japan, and the life she leads the few years before it is bombed during World War II. All of the clips are in Japanese, so we are going to go straight to the review. In This World was directed by Sunao Katabuchi and based on the manga by Fumio Kono, and stars the vocal talents of Reina Nonen, Megumi Han, Yoshimasa Hosoya, Natsuki Inaba, Nanase Iwai, Minori Omi, Daisuke Ono, and Tengai Shibuya. Let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of In This Corner of the World?
I think this movie is too long. I'll start there. It's over 2 hours, and it kind of drags. You're getting this expose of this woman's life leading up in the years to these bombings, but it doesn't really feel like there's much of a point to anything that happens. And that seems to be a theme with some of the anime that we've seen as of late, that the story is just there for the sake of the story and what the character kind of experiences. It doesn't have much to do with actually having a plot or a message. It's just sort of, let's examine this person's life in this historical context or in this other context or this weird thing that happened. And I don't really like that style of storytelling as much. I found that this movie was really hard to pay attention to. I committed a cardinal sin and I watched it with the English dub instead of the Japanese dub. I did leave the subtitles on and found that they didn't match, which is kind of interesting. I wonder how bad the translation was for the dubbers or bad for the subtitlers. I'm not really sure. I didn't find myself loving this film, but I will say that it was beautifully animated. I thought that the animation style was very nice and it gave it sort of a lighter tone than you might otherwise have had with the serious nature of the subject matter. But it just didn't really thrill me. I'll recommend it if you're into anime, but otherwise, I don't really see a lot here for wider audiences.
Trevor?
We caught In This Corner of the World on Netflix this past week, and it just got incredible reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, so I was looking forward to watching it. And again, I was let down with this style of film. I remember when Princess Cayuga got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, and then I don't know if it's of the exact same genre, but I was really excited about seeing Kubo and the Two Strings as well because of the great reviews that it got. And I just feel like these movies... all of them were letdowns. When I think of animated movies, I tend to think of children's films. I think these movies are supposed to be simple and beautiful and funny and interesting and have morals and lessons and like dangers and conflict. And this movie was just lacking, in my opinion. I too made the mistake of having my default setting on Netflix be the English dub version of this film, and I really wished I hadn't, because I think that given how beautiful this film was in its animation, I think that if it would have been in Japanese, between the language and following the subtitles and seeing the beauty of the animation, that I probably would have been able to find a little bit more to like in this movie. In the end, my entertainment with the animation quality was trumped by my boredom, and I can't recommend this movie.
Well, I definitely understand where my compatriots are coming from. This is a tough movie to watch, but I really enjoyed myself. Overall, the feature is a slice of life. It's definitely, as Ashley said, it doesn't really have a story arc. It's mainly talking about this woman's life from around 1933 until 1945 when the bombs are dropped. And it basically just tells the story of what it is like for an everyday Japanese person living in Imperial Japan. It doesn't really talk a lot about the politics of the war. There's national pride, but it's muted. It's more like, hey, those are our guys, rah, but it doesn't really bring you into the worldly context. And you see the war from an everyday perspective. A lot of the details about the war are about, oh, okay, which ships haven't come back, which sons aren't found, and you're burying a rock instead, and how much are ration prices going up. It's a very grounded and pragmatic look about the human cost of war without diving into the politics. Now, that being said, it does glaze over 99% of the atrocities that happened in war, and only in passing mentions things like the Nanking Massacre and the brutality of the military police, the secret police in Imperial Japan. So I really enjoy the feature, but it does have its weaknesses. I do think it's beautifully animated, though, and the cultural artifacts as we watch this woman go through her life and she struggles in joining in marriage with a man moving in with his family, it's just beautiful, and I love it. So I will recommend it, but I understand where my compatriots are coming from. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
It's beautiful, but it's just not my thing. 2 stars.
Trevor?
Yeah, you'd think an animated movie that got such good reviews would be recommendable as in the rotation of Disney movies that could be in the family home. And for my part, I have to make sure that that's not the case for our listeners. I'll agree that it was really well animated. 1.5 stars.
Well, I'm definitely more positive about this movie than my compatriots. I understand the difficulties, though, in digesting this film, because it really is for a niche audience. So I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 and give it a cautious recommendation for history and anime enthusiasts. And that'll bring us to our cinema release of the week, and it is Avengers Infinity War, in which every Marvel movie for the last 10 years has been slowly leading up to this massive battle with interstellar villain Thanos.
Tell me his name again.
Thanos. He's a plague, Tony. He invades planets. He takes what he wants. He wipes out half the population. He sent Loki. The attack on New York. That's him.
This is it. What's our timeline?
No telling. He has the power in space stones. That already makes him the strongest creature in the whole universe. If he gets his hands on all 6 stones, Tony...
He could destroy life on a scale hitherto undreamt of.
Did you seriously just say hitherto undreamt of?
Are you seriously leaning on the cauldron of the cosmos?
Is that what it is? Avengers Infinity War stars, of course, Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Chris Evans, Don Cheadle, Tom Holland, Chadwick Boseman, Benedict Cumberbatch, Zoe Saldana, Karen Gillan, Tom Hiddleston, Paul Bettany, Elizabeth Olsen, Anthony Mackie, Sebastian Stan, Idris Elba, Danai Gurira, Peter Dinklage, Benedict Wong, Pom Klementoff, Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel, Bradley Cooper, Gwyneth Paltrow, Benicio Del Toro, Josh Brolin, Chris Pratt, Sean Gunn, William Hurt, Letitia Wright, Winston Duke, and Stan Lee. And let's talk about it. Ashley, what did you think of Infinity War?
So despite my rampant avoidance of the internet in the days leading up to seeing this film, I did manage to get spoiled for this movie. So I kind of walked into it having an idea of what might happen, and it made it a little bit harder for me to enjoy the film. Let's start with the obvious criticisms. This film is incredibly overpacked with people. There are too many characters. And second biggest criticism, you have to have seen at least some of the movies leading up to this to understand what in the world is going on and who the people are. I was constantly having to lean over and ask Nick who these people were because I didn't know who half of them were. That leads to the other criticism, which is that in order to understand what's going on, you have to have seen the movies, which is just not how films should work. And the movie is way too long. I will not spoil it for anybody. I'm doing my best to avoid it. But I think that this film, what it does well, is it based in its story. The story actually has some high points. There are some good things here. However, it's just this overblown spectacle CGI. Let's cram as many people as we can into this film. It ends up making it just not that enjoyable and frankly a little hard to follow at times. And it definitely has some pieces that are going to give it some extra for me that I don't want to spoil for you, but it is not a great film. This has been my major criticism of all the MCU movies since they've been coming out, is that you have to have the background of the other films to get them. If you don't have it, it's just not that enjoyable. It's okay, but it's not great.
Trevor?
So Ashley's criticisms are more than fair with this movie, but I'm going to recommend it from one perspective, and that's for the adults out there that like taking their family to movies, or if their children are excited about going to see this Avengers film, or if you go with your teenagers, I don't really know, but there's a lot of people that were excited about seeing this movie, and I enjoyed myself, and I think it was well done and interesting enough story to where I can recommend it to the general audiences to go and enjoy seeing a big budget movie with the family. That being said, it really felt like there was just enough great parts of this movie kind of linked together to keep my attention throughout it. I thought this movie was choppy and, well, one, it's flashing from different parts of the universe with completely different casts and superheroes all engaged in the one overall general story. I think there were enough really good chunks of this movie to keep my entertainment right up until the end. Knowing how long this movie was, when I was about an hour in, I thought it was going to be lousy and I was looking at my watch. And then I think that the back half of the movie went by pretty quickly, so I think it must have done something right because I really enjoyed it up until the end. I had the mistaken intel of that this was going to be the Marvel movie to end all Marvel movies. I thought it was going to culminate with something. I thought it was going to be the end, and I was excited about that. Forgive me. But it's not. The ending is interesting, but it just leads us up to the next sequel, and I'm not excited about that. I don't know. I enjoyed myself, and it wasn't terrible. Nick, what did you think?
Well, I enjoyed myself immensely, and the criticisms that are coming from my compatriots, I didn't feel them as much. I wasn't distracted by the disjointedness of it because I really, really enjoyed the fact that there was this massive conflict happening over multiple campaign areas. There's Titan itself. There's the Guardians who are splitting up and doing two different things at once. And then there's everyone on Earth either fighting or banding together. And I really rather loved it. It was the culmination of the entire MCU and was a massively awesome battle, or series of battles, actually, that came to a head in a great climax and a great ending. I love the ending to this movie. I'm not going to spoil it, but it made me happy, and I'm glad they did it. I want to give a shout-out to Josh Brolin. He did a really good job creating empathy in a villain, and it's hard to do, and no one really ever does it well except in Oscar-winning movies. I don't think this is an Oscar-winning movie except for maybe special effects, but I think Brolin did a tremendously good job in making you feel for Thanos and what he was going through. You still don't want him to win, but I liked it. It's the best Marvel villain I've seen so far. Overall, while I agree there's a lot going on and it's hard to get good dialogue and good character arcs when you're dealing with 40 different actors, I still enjoyed the heck out of it, and I'll be looking forward to future Marvel Cinematic Universe movies as they come out. In fact, I think we have another one coming up pretty soon in Ant-Man and the Wasp. And on that note, final thoughts. Ashley.
I can't give props to Josh Brolin because his character is so heavily CGI. It's just like, it's not like a real actor to me in a lot of ways. I mean, voice acting, sure, but it just, so much of this movie feels artificial. It's hard to think that it's got a lot of depth behind it. And that's just my own two cents on it. I'll give it 2.5.
Trevor?
I think I'm going to be somewhere in the middle of Nick and Ashley on this one, but I definitely think that the good outweighed the bad. I'll agree that it was entertaining and that the ending was good. And out of this huge A-list cast, I think that I really enjoyed Chris Pratt's work. And I could say the same thing about Thor's character. I think I really want to be Chris Hemsworth's friend, too. I'll give this movie a really strong 3 stars and recommend it for the family.
Well, I agree. There's so much going on. It's hard to really connect with any individual group in this feature. I think the graphics were spot on. It was the culmination of all of the Marvel Universe movies that have been made before it. And it's just a really satisfying ending. So I'm going to give it a strong 4 out of 5 and say go see it in theaters. Stay through the credits, of course. And we'll see you next time that the Avengers come around. I believe it's next year, actually. And that'll bring us to a close. If you have any questions, comments, and the like, please feel free to email. You can reach us at ksje@sanjuancollege.edu. Just make sure you put a review too far on the subject line, and we will be sure to get it. Any parting thoughts as we go?
Hey, I'd like to thank Allen Theaters for bringing these films to our community and to San Juan College and KSJE for hosting our program.
And from the studios of KSJE, I am Nick Michael. I've been sitting here with
Ashley Lundy
and Trevor Mava.
And we'll see you folks next week with more reviews and hopefully some recommendations coming up. Overboard.